So we have an 8 kilogram billet core of aluminium that goes into one of our CNC machines and is getting milled all the way to 30 grams.
Welcome back to Not an Audiophile. This is episode 41, season 2. Today, we have another interview from the 2025 StereoNet Hi-Fi and AV show, held in Melbourne each year, run by the people at StereoNet.com. Find your tribe. Great forum over there. Lots of interesting discussions about all sorts of things, hi-fi and home cinema related. And for that matter, a lot of other subjects, I've noticed. Now, we were very busy at that show and had to call in some assistance from our intermittent co-hosts, Brad Serhan and David Carazza. And this interview actually David did with Aurel from YG Acoustics. If you had an unlimited amount of money to build a loudspeaker that could sell for almost an unlimited amount of money, maybe YG Acoustics is how you would go about it. Certainly, the definition of state-of-the-art is probably to be found in their Colorado plant. For the discerning audio enthusiast, performance and precision matter. That's why March Audio employs Purify technology to engineer award-winning loudspeakers and amplifiers. They deliver sound that truly transcends expectations, all available at an entirely modest cost. Go now to marchaudio.com and check out more of Alan March's engineering feats, including a sale price on the 501 amplifier. March Audio, for the discerning audio enthusiast.
Well, welcome to another podcast. We're here in Melbourne at the StereoNet show, having a great old time, and looks like Melbourne has turned on the weather. It's okay, it's actually not raining. And I'm here with Aurel from YG, and we're going to talk about YG speakers and their incredible USB that they have in the market. Over to you, Aurel.
Good morning, David. I'm really happy to see you again. I think we met last year.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just been a year, but I feel like we've been a couple of times, and I'm just happy to be back in Melbourne for the show. YG was founded in 2002, 23 years ago. It was founded in Colorado. It's still in Colorado now. We haven't changed the factory. We just expanded it as we grew.
Good.
We're aluminium machinist specialists, and that was, I think, interesting path where most of the speakers, you know, are made of wooden cabinets and different types of materials. I think aluminium was a challenge at the time, but we always had the vision to use the best of the technology available to produce speakers in kind of a different way. In 2017, there has been a change between the founder and our current operations. Okay. We have a new chief designers, we have a new CEO. It's a completely new company. So we kind of look like a startup, if you want to say it, because our CEO, Dr. Matthew Webster, who has I love his background, I found it really exciting. He has a PhD from Cambridge University in astrophysics, and I found that super cool. And I think in a way, it goes exactly with the vision that we have now, which is doing everything we can to push the limits of technology, would it be in CNC machining aluminium, or in types of components that we use, and trying to find, always try to look for the best possible components or design, internal, external, to give the best sound performance ever, I would say.
Yeah.
And as you know, there's only the reference line, which is composed of aluminium speakers, goes from, now it's from the Carmel all the way to the XV Signature, limited edition with four towers. Which has been a success, interestingly, despite the fact that you have to have four towers.
Right.
So I don't know if you're familiar with all
of
our
products. If you can speak to that, because I'm sure some of the audience would be fascinated about that product.
Yeah. All right. So up until 2022, we only had aluminium machine speakers. We still have them, and that's still the core business for YG Acoustics. So we've been machining speakers in Denver, Colorado, and since 2017, as I said, we invested a lot of money. There has been more than $8 million invested into R&D, which is something I also find really cool. It's a lot of money, but that was because we had the capabilities, and we thought we could do it with the engineering.
Yep.
So the lab is in Cambridge, United Kingdom, where our CEO and chief designer
is. There's something really weird about Cambridge. We've been doing podcasts with other manufacturers. And half the time the conversation returns back to Cambridge and the brains trust that is there. It's an extraordinary part of the world.
Yes, and I don't think it's only for the audio world. It also applies to Formula One. You know,
lots exactly.
of world's best engineers, you find them in Cambridge. So I guess maybe there's a relation to that.
Oh, sure.
And so yeah, all the engineering is now done in Cambridge and the manufacturing is in Denver, Colorado. But as I said, we invested $8 million. So we're, I think, one of the only audio company that has eight CNC machines in the factory. We have, it's going to be a bit technical, but.
Please, no, this is great. So for those of, for the audience who don't know what a CNC machine, can you give a potted explanation of what a CNC machine is?
Okay, basically it's, to make it simple, it's a huge, it depends on the size. It's a huge machine that has different types of tools. We have different types of one that cuts different panels of aluminium in a multi-axis. And the ones that we have four DMG Moris, the best of the one that you can achieve. Each machine has 50 dedicated tools to cut parts of our speakers, internal, external, you name every part of the speaker has a dedicated tool. We also have custom-made tools for YG that we designed. So on the CNC machine also, so when we put the panels on the inside the CNC machine, we also designed and machined the bolts and all the parts that secure the panels of aluminium before actually cutting them.
Wow.
So we do this. We have a water jet machine, which, as it says, is cutting thick panels of aluminium with water, high pressure with some, I forgot the word in English, I'm really sorry.
But that's all right.
Yeah, it's some sanding and some other chemical elements.
Sure.
It cuts really thick panels of aluminium at an impressively fast rate. So this is the water jet. Cuts the vast majority of all our speaker panels. Then they go to the Moris, where we can do the finishing, you know, the front milling, the back milling of the panels. The edges, it's everything goes into the CNC Mori. Then we have a Gildermeister. We have another machine that cuts all the joints that you see inside the speakers. And then we have one really cool machine. Nobody knows about it. I like it. I like talking about it.
What's this cool machine? Tell us all about it.
So it's a CNC machine that only two companies in the world have.
Okay.
One, I'll start with us. One is YG. Yeah. And the second, who has the 99% of the CNC machines called Portatec, is Airbus. And I found this super exciting. When you think about our CEO who has a PhD in astrophysics, we're using actually airspace grade of types of aluminium with a machine that also is being used by Airbus, and I found this super cool.
That's a great story, isn't it?
Yeah, and you see I'm smiling. It's just exciting because nobody would expect this, you know?
Yeah.
We're an audio company. We have all these machines running 24/7, by the way, which is lots. But yeah, so this is the way we're doing. We're very technology focused, not in a bad way. No, people should not say that. You know, some people say we're an audio company.
But you're using the technology to gain a better result out of the product.
So what we sometimes say now, because Matthew's vision, as I said, he's trying to always push the boundaries of what's available in terms of technology to achieve the best sound performing speakers. Now, somehow we say, YG, we're a technology company that happens to do audio. You know? Because that's what we do. Matthew is working on perhaps 20, 30 projects at the same time.
Wow. And are these audio projects or outside of the audio world?
It's in the audio world, just trying to see which speaker, how we can do this, which technology, which components. Any types of, you know, just trying to see what we can achieve with what we have and push it further.
So you do this amazing in-house CNC machining of aluminium billets for the enclosures.
Yes.
But now, we were speaking before about the drivers. Can you tell listeners about the drivers? Because this blows my mind.
Are you familiar with Edgar Kramer? Well, you should be. He's Australia's most renowned hi-fi reviewer. And his website, soundstageaustralia.com, is, well, quite amazing. Incredibly detailed, well-written reviews on all sorts of interesting hi-fi components, interviews with industry luminaries, factory tours, and, of course, news. Don't forget, Soundstage Australia is part of Soundstage Global Network. So when you're finished with this podcast, go to soundstageaustralia.com and check it out.
It's really, I don't have the billet core of aluminium with me, but later I'll show you the hybrid lattice tweeter, so you can weigh it a bit. I usually don't do it, but I brought it for the show to show it to a certain people, because you have to be careful.
Am I certain people?
Yes. No, I know. Well, when I say certain people, don't take it, but it's just like,
I want to make sure.
No, if you make it move around, you have the risk of breaking
it. Oh, God, yes, absolutely.
So I'm just showing it from time to time, and it gives the wow effect you're looking for. So when we cut the panels of aluminium, we always cut the hole, you know, for where you're going to place the drivers.
Sure.
So we reuse, actually, that billet core, which is 8 kilograms, let's say.
That's a lot of aluminium.
The panels are huge, and you see the Sonya 3.2 that we have here is a 145 kilograms per channel. It's heavy.
Yeah.
So we have an 8 kilogram billet core volume of aluminium that goes into one of our CNC machine and is getting milled all the way to 30 grams.
Can you say that again?
Yes. So we start with an 8 kilograms billet core of aluminium, and it's getting milled all to 30 grams. So from 8 kilos to 30 grams.
No, I get it. My jaws is dislocated, that's all. Wow, that's dedication.
Yeah, and if there's a difficult part, technological part, which is maybe insane, but it's going to be excellent, we're going to go that way, because why not? You know, we can do it.
Right.
We'll try. Yeah. So that goes for the drivers. We also do this with the tweeters. So the hybrid lattice tweeter that we have is also machined in-house. Same process. It's a different type of aluminium alloy, but that's 80 grams, more or less, of billet core that, again, is machined to reach a final weight of 0.03 grams.
gentle listener, just in case you missed that, I'm going to ask Aurel to repeat that. Magnificent reduction in mass.
Yes. So, for both or just for the
tweeter? No, just for the tweeter, because the tweeter is very impressive.
Yes. So, we cut, we cut the hole for the panels.
Yeah.
Take the billet core of aluminium.
Yeah.
Well, it's not billet core. We take the aluminium part from 80 grams.
Yeah.
We mill it all the way to, well, it's not just milling, you know, there's cutting and...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All of the process that the machine is doing. And it cuts it to a 0.03 gram tweeter.
That's astonishing.
Yes.
Yeah. So I would imagine the tolerances with the curvature and the surface and everything are just like spot on.
Yes. I think it's surgical.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Surgical is a good word.
Nanosurgical. I don't know.
It's that's a great word.
Precise.
Yeah.
The tools that we use are extremely precise.
Yeah.
And it's just, I hope you can have a chance to visit our factory, because it's not, I mean, people would think it's humongous.
Yeah.
It's not that huge, it's big, but then the magic is when you get in and you see all these machines working 24/7,
wow,
changing tools, cutting parts. It's really exciting. And then on the other side, we have all the assembly. So you can see a full range of Sonyas or Haleys or XXs speakers being built. So you can actually see from the start of the process, when the panel sits on the water jet, all the way to getting assembled in the other side of the room.
So is the assembly primarily human done or robotically done? Or?
It's all humanly done.
Good.
So we use the CNC to cut the panels.
Yep.
If one day we have superhumans that can cut panels the way the CNC do, maybe we will, I'm not sure, but yes. No, and so that's the cool technology part.
Okay, cool.
Back to the speaker line.
Yeah,
so right now,
on
the we have the reference, which starts now from the Carmel.
Yep.
Then we have the Vantage Haley Sonya 3.2. 3.2 because you have two modules, top module and base module. We have the Sonya 3.3, which you just add another base module to it, which is cool because if you buy, let's say you want to buy a Sonya 3.2, and then you decide to add more bass or you want a different type of speaker, you can just buy the upgrade to put
So it's a truly modular speaker.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
That's a great value for the end user. If they start off humbly with, you know, oh, well, here's a system that I can afford and accommodate in this room. But if they move house or they, you know, come into some money and think, you know, hey, I can enhance this.
Yes. So you can do this. Then it goes to, we have the XX now, which we launched 2 years ago, which is my favorite speaker.
Why is that?
It's fantastic.
Tell me about it.
So, I'll tell you about the next speaker, and then I go back to the XX.
Okay, let's go.
So we had the XV, which is the top of the line, and this has four towers. So you have one main tower on left channel, one bass tower on left channel, and the same on the right channel. It's huge. It's fantastic. The sound is amazing, but it's four towers. So for some people, it's really difficult to accommodate. Of course, not, you know, I can't accommodate an XV at home for now.
Nor could I, but anyway.
But it's, I love it. It's just fantastic. We have the limited edition, which was, which is eight pairs. We've sold maybe pretty much six of them.
And may I ask, what's the retail on that, say in US dollars or euro? Or?
For the signature?
Yeah.
It's just under $500,000 US.
And you've sold how many now?
Six. Because it's, and they have a completely different type of design. I'll go back to it.
Yeah, but
the XV is four towers. I think it was launched for the 15th anniversary, you know, all the numbers. And XX for the 20th anniversary.
Of course.
And the vision behind this was, I think, so you have, at the time, the best sounding performance in four towers, the pinnacle of what YG could offer in terms of sound performance, technology, etc. But we tried to make it so to fit in two speakers.
Okay.
Because people maybe want them, but can't put them in their dedicated room.
It's simply a matter of space, isn't it? It may not even be a matter of money for some people. It's just like, we don't have the room.
Exactly. I want this, but it doesn't fit.
Correct.
So Matthew went into designing the XX, which, to make it easy, he will be, I don't think he'll be angry if I said it, but it's basically trying to achieve the same performance in four towers, but in two.
Yeah. And has that been achieved, do you think?
Yes. I used to love the Sonya. The XV is fantastic, but the XX is just pure pleasure for me. My favorite speaker at YG Acoustics. So it looks like it's as big as the Sonya that we have in the room.
Yeah.
There's a different design, of course. The crossovers are completely different.
Okay.
Drivers are the same.
And you do all the crossovers in-house, of course.
Yes, yes. But the XX has two added sub-drivers on the side panels.
Okay.
And that was to achieve almost what you can do with four, but in two. And it's a very versatile. The reason why I love it, it's very versatile. You have a large room. We need, you know, energy, power, so you can put the speaker with the drivers facing outside, but it's designed to fit smaller rooms. So for example, I was at the show in Taiwan, and a customer came to me and said, I have a 24 square meter room.
It's pretty small.
Do you think it would fit? And I asked, I said, okay, how high is your ceiling? He said, oh, it's above 3 meters. And I said, it's fine. It will work very well. We did some installs actually, and what you do is actually, instead of having the drivers facing outwards, you just swap the speakers and they're facing inward, and then it can work in a smaller environment.
Did the customer actually go ahead and purchase a pair?
I think he did, because he was trading a pair. He was on the edge of trading a pair of speaker, and his only concern was, will it work in my room?
Yeah.
And I did an installation at a customer in Singapore, similar type of room, XX, and it worked really well.
Wow, that's fantastic.
For me, he made the sale. I mean, he purchased the speakers. I just need to wait to hear from the distributor, but I think the guy was really excited. He heard them at the show and then just decided to perhaps make the trade-in. But anyway, this is an exciting speaker. We have it in passive and active.
Okay.
We call it active. Because
tell me about the active version.
Yeah, I'm going all the ways. I'm sorry. There's no structure in how I'm talking
to you. No, this is great. Yeah. Hey, listen, we never have structure in our podcast, but that's fine. Go ahead. You're perfectly at home.
Okay, thank you very much. So that's the passive line.
Yeah.
I'm really going everywhere. Let me finish on the XV story.
Yeah, please, please.
And then we'll go to whatever additions of speakers that we added since Matthew joined. So the XV is a standard model at YG Acoustics, and the Signature series is limited edition.
Got it.
And when I said that at YG, we really try to see what's technically achievable, Matthew started working on pushing the limits on the crossovers for the XV. And then what started as a pure R&D project that was never supposed to be released, Matthew loved the sound so much. We had the listening with the whole team in Cambridge and then in the US. It sounded so good that Matthew said, no, we have to release this in the market. And this, the crossovers are designed differently in a way that every driver has its own filter.
Okay.
And all the crossovers, so when we test and measure the speakers, there are four iterations of testing, measuring, listening per drivers. We do this a long process that's iterated four times to make sure we can achieve the sound that Matthew said it should achieve on the XV signature.
So this sounds like incredibly time-intensive
yes.
R&D.
And that's why, yes, it is. And that's why we only make eight pairs, because the time you spend into crafting such a delicate speaker, you cannot really focus on, I mean, you have less manpower to focus on the rest of the speakers.
Yeah, for sure.
But it sounds amazing. Okay. It does. So that's, and there's a nameplate at the back of the speaker, hand signed by Matthew. The crossovers are hand signed inside. You have a 24 karat gold trapezoid in the front with a YG logo. It's amazing.
Okay.
All right, that's for the reference. 3 years ago, we launched the Peak series, which is the wooden cabinet series.
That's right.
The vision behind this was to try to have more people join the YG family in a more affordable line.
Of course, yeah.
People say we're still expensive, but...
That's a relative thing these days, yeah.
But, so...
I mean, I certainly know of speakers that are more expensive.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I think for the value, it's an amazing speaker,
yeah,
the Peak series.
I agree. I've heard a lot of your speakers and I love them.
So these are wooden cabinets. We don't manufacture wood cabinets, but work with a really reliable partner. The front panels are aluminium and machined by us.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really good with the Peaks is they share the exact same drivers than a reference.
Okay.
That makes a huge difference. Tweeters are different, crossovers are different, but just having the same drivers is already, it's really good. That's why they sound so good as well. And we have two bookshelves, three floor standing, a subwoofer, just to appeal to a different type of customer. We purposely tune them into some speakers will be neutral, some speakers will be a bit more warm. So if you have a bookshelf, you can compare both and say, oh, I'd like a more warm speakers, I'll go for this one. I'd like it a bit more neutral, I'll go for this one. We try to be open to as many as possible.
That's very interesting.
That's what we do on the reference line too. You have differences into being neutral and a bit more warm. Then we launched the Live series, which basically is active speaker, and you don't see it on the podcast, but I'm doing the
In inverted commas, the air quotes,
because it's not wireless. We have a controller, so we work with Belcanto for the electronics. It's designed with Matthew, so he's you can't find this controller anywhere, even at Belcanto. We have two optical cables that are connected between the controller and the speakers, and we decided to do this because when the signal leaves the controller, it's locked. It's fast, there's no loss, and it goes into the speaker the exact way it got out of the controller. So it's really good. And we have only three speakers for now, which is the Vantage, the Sonya, live version of what we have, and the XX.
Wow. Okay.
And what I love about the XX Live is it has dedicated 700 watts of amplification per driver.
So we're talking tri-amped or bi-amped? It would be tri-amped, wouldn't it?
For the active, you have the controller. It's all there's 700 watts per driver. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay, right.
Yeah, per channel, it's insane. I love this one. It's just amazing what you can achieve with this. It's a speaker that you can buy passive and later upgrade as active. If you want to change your lifestyle and etc. Peaks are also upgradable. Reference is upgradable. Because what we also want is to keep people happy with YG. You know, you have a pair of speakers, you've been using it for a long time. Some people don't want to change their speakers, they just love it. But you brought the new drivers, new crossovers, new tweeter. There's a path to upgrade. So all our speakers right now at reference, customers that have reference 2 and who want to upgrade to reference 3, they can. They can say, all right, I'd like the new drivers, so you can get the new drivers. I like the new faceplate, so we can there's a path for the newest faceplate, which everything improved the sound performance. I like the new tweeter. We recommend you doing the tweeter and crossover update at the same time, because it's going to be weird to have a new crossover with not the latest technology on top. But every speaker is upgradable.
All right. Well, that's fascinating, Earl. I'm just wondering, with the upgrades, are they done in field, or do they have to be sent back to the factory?
It depends. The easiest are done at the dealership or at the distributor level. Of course, we provide full training.
Sure.
Sometimes I even come from the factory.
Right.
And actually, not the factory. I mean, I'm based in Tokyo right now.
That's right. Yeah.
I come and support the distributor and dealers to do upgrades, sometimes at the customer as well, you know. But for the most difficult one, if it's a full upgrade, we usually ask for the speaker to be shipped back.
That makes sense, yeah.
It's cleaned, upgraded, tested, measured, and when we're satisfied, it's shipped back to the customer.
That's service plus, isn't it?
Hey Now Hi-Fi wowed music lovers at the recent StereoNet Hi-Fi and AV show. The Fisher & Fisher loudspeakers, the dome and turntable, the beautiful-sounding airtight tube amplifiers from Japan. Now, all of this gear, along with Jeff's other rooms that he had fantastic equipment in, is all back at the store, ready for you to listen in-store or talk to Jeff about an in-home demo. Jeff, Hey Now Hi-Fi, ring him today. Or email, SMS, maybe smoke signals, pigeons.
So this is all very fascinating. You've done a great job kind of weaving a visual representation of the speakers and how they're upgraded.
Yeah.
The CNC machines, I can see these robotic arms whirling around madly carving out billets and everything.
I'll send you some videos.
That would be great. Yes. I'd really appreciate that. It's a pity we can't show the videos on the podcast, but we might be able to put them up on YouTube. We'll see what we can do. Just getting back to more kind of macro level stuff with your markets and where you've had the greatest success. Yes. Can you tell us about how sales have changed over time and where your best markets are?
Yes, sure. As we grew, well, we had the team growing as YG Acoustics, and so the factory grew in Denver. Markets have grown, especially in the past 2 years. Okay. I mean, the Peak launch was fantastic.
Yep.
Because it's something which is out of our comfort zone, I would say.
Yeah.
Because we're aluminium machinist specialists.
Yeah.
But when we launch something, we know it's going to work and sound amazing.
So was there a bit of trepidation when you launched the Peak series? Were you unsure? Do you think?
So we launched an entire line of speakers at once.
Okay.
So that's a big challenge already.
You bet.
Usually you just start with one and then you go with two, etc. So we just went with a full range of speakers. And what we did not expect is a huge demand for them.
Really?
They sounded so good at Munich, and then there's a lot of people asking for it. So we did not expect that.
Huh.
So that was a bit of a challenge at the beginning, but now it's okay.
Yeah.
Because, it's not being arrogant or anything. There's a lot of demand for it.
Yeah. But, sorry to interrupt, but the thing is, when you're in manufacturing and suddenly you have a marketing success, like at a show, and everyone's putting their hand up saying, I want a pair, or I want 100 pairs or whatever, then you've got to satisfy that demand.
Exactly. But that was challenging, but that's great, and we did it.
Yeah,
and
good.
But we said, when we launch a new speaker or a new line in the future, if we do, we're not going to do a full range again.
You've learned your lesson,
right? Yes, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So, the Peaks was fantastic. We grew with it. It opened the door to customers who said, I like speakers, but I'd rather a wooden cabinet rather than an aluminium cabinet.
That's interesting. So a lot of it was it was an aesthetic thing as much as it was a cost thing.
I think it's a mix of both. We wanted to cater to different people.
Of course.
As I said, more affordable to have more people coming in.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you just, as like the live series, we're catering to different type of customers.
Sure.
So we just tried to broaden, and as I said, the technology company that happened to do audio is to, we expand our horizon, try to get new people in the YG family. This was a success. Then market grew again because we've been on the field a lot. Well, we've only met in Melbourne, but we've been doing a lot of shows, and I could see that grow within 2 years, where Munich was getting bigger and bigger, and all the shows started to pick up in Europe, in US, in Asia, to the point that 2 years ago in Munich, we had or last, even last year, there was only two rooms using YG Acoustics, which Solnote Electronics from Japan and us. To this year, we had five rooms with YG.
And maybe, hopefully, more in Vienna next year.
I'm hoping there will be more. Yeah, but what was fun is we've been doing a lot of social media marketing, which we were not capable of before, because we needed to be more in the field. And that's, you know, we've been tackling this. It's people are saying, oh, I saw pictures in Hong Kong. That's amazing. I saw pictures in Tokyo. I saw pictures in Paris show. Now in Melbourne, in the US. To the point that last year, to the Capital Audio Fest, there were eight rooms with YG acoustic speakers.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's impressive. And it's funny, it's a lot. It's difficult to man eight rooms.
See, people forget about this. They think it's all beer and Skittles when you do shows, but it's a lot of bloody hard work.
Yes, it is. So you just well, luckily, it's not just YG. You have all the people from different manufacturers that are here.
Sure.
But we have to juggle with all the rooms and just, you know, send a playlist, play, do a presentation. It's fun. It's good for your body and your health, by the way, to keep running around. And at some point, you eavesdrop, listen to people talk and say, wow, it's the YG show. Because you have eight rooms and everywhere going, there's a YG. It's cool. And then we decided to learn some colors. There was a beautiful green Haley in Capital Audio Fest. It was in Munich as well. That was used by Luxman for the 100th anniversary,
which I think was
an honor for us to be the speaker for Munich for their 100th anniversary.
That's quite the accolade, isn't it? I mean, a company with such a pedigree as Luxman chose your speakers.
Yes, and we're all excited and say, yes, of course, we're going to do it, to support you with anything you need, because, well, that's where we're good people. You try to... Yeah, I don't know. It's an industry where sometimes, you know, people are a bit too serious.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't want to be negative or pejorative.
No. It's just
sometimes very serious, and people forget to have fun. And we have fun at YG.
Do you think this industry is about music or something? You're gravely mistaken.
Yes, you know, we have to have fun. You sit down, you listen to the music. You can be alone, appreciating your moments.
Correct.
And you can also be having friends, listen to a few tracks. If you're an analog guy, you just bring your favorite record, you have a session. Some people would stream, you know, just have fun listening to music. Yesterday, I had someone requested a track. I think it was Shallow from Lady Gaga. And they said, no, don't play it. People are going to leave. I said, no, it's fine. Let's just listen to them.
Yeah.
Why not? We have a playlist, but this track I know sounds well. Played it. We both got goosebumps immediately and said, yes, that's how it is. And YG, sometimes as a joke, we say it means you're a goosebump. It's a terrible joke. We do it internally. I just released it to the world now. But we have to have fun. At YG, we also have lots of fun in the factory. It's a young team.
Yeah.
Everybody's passionate about what they do. In our listening room, actually, we do something called our listening room in the factory in Denver. Every Monday, 1 p.m., there's something called Song and Slice.
Okay.
I love the concept. When I'm away, I join by Zoom with a glass of something that I have by hand. But 1 p.m. sharp, everybody in the factory goes into the listening room. And then prior to that, three people are selected to choose a track to listen to. So the whole company comes, sit down, has pizza for lunch, and someone introduced the track that he wanted to listen. And the reason we do it is to keep everybody involved in YG.
That is fantastic.
And we rotate speakers and electronics that we have. So you know what track sounds on the Talus, on the Titan, which is the new speaker that we launched this year, on the XX, the SV, with these cables, these electronics. And that's exciting. And if you're away, you get a link, say, for the guys who are away, please zoom. And we zoom, you see people in UK, where Cambridge, me, if I'm here or somewhere else in Asia, I'm logging in. The guy who's doing Latin America, he connects and just, it's fun. And you're having fun like this.
But this is such a beautiful story. And look, you know, it's interesting how a lot of the time we are so furrowed brow about this industry and we're all obsessed with specifications and this and that. And, you know, sometimes we do forget. At the end of the day, we make these things to channel music.
Yes.
That's their sole purpose. Mm-hmm. And it's just lovely to hear that there's a manufacturer that's actually internally focused on having fun as well.
Yes. We design speakers, want them to sound the best possible, and we're having fun doing it. Honestly, there's phone calls with the production, with the marketing. There's banter as well between us. And what I like is actually there's quite a lot of people like this, but you know, I don't know if people express it the way that we express it. But for example, what I said, I was really happy to be in Melbourne for the show. It looks like a mini Munich for me. Really good atmosphere, really good people. The people at the show are amazing, honestly. Really nice people. And then you see people in the industry, more the same age. So you're talking about Alistair. Yesterday, you know, watched the F1 qualifications. We have a few beers, bunch of guys from different brands having fun, talking, music, Formula One, and just having fun.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's amazing. So we have fun in the industry. You make friends outside of the industry and just have fun, listen to your music, enjoy it, enjoy your time. And I don't know what else to say, just, yeah.
I think we'll end on that fun note.
Okay.
And it's a pity you can't see us, listeners, because we're both grinning like idiots. I think it's a beautiful thing to remind everyone that the reason why we're in the industry is actually to have fun.
Yes.
And on that note, I've got to thank you for your time.
Thank you, David.
And enjoy the rest of your show.
You too.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
The Hi-Fi Shop is the home of quality hi-fi. Experience the best of everything from affordable turntables to not-so-affordable high-end loudspeakers. Let Alex curate a complete system for you, or have him using his technical background assist with your next upgrade. Visit in person or check the website hifishop.com.au for easy information on all of your favourite brands. Go straight to the top, speak to Alex at Hi-Fi Shop.